The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. We all know the story, the temptation of Jesus. It appears after his baptism in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark, the earliest of the four Gospels to be written, offers a mere two verses concerning the event. And the Spirit, he says, immediately, Mark wrote with urgency, the word immediately appears 39 times in this short gospel. Some argue Mark did it against the backdrop of persecution, of which Mark himself was possibly martyred, hence the shorter ending of this gospel. And the Spirit, again, immediately drove him out into the wilderness. In Hebrew, the word for wilderness means the place beyond words. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Two verses. Matthew and Luke, drawing on Mark, and probably another source, elaborate. Both identify the three temptations Jesus faces, albeit in a different order. You heard Luke's version a moment ago. Jesus is tempted to perform a deed of power, that is to say, a miracle, turning stones into bread, simply, I assume, for the sake of exhibiting power. He is then tempted to worldly power. "Worship me," the devil says, "and the kingdoms of the world will be yours." Finally, Jesus is tempted to test God. "Throw yourself from the top of the temple," Satan says, "and God will save you." We all know the story. Yet the story, I'd like to suggest this morning, implies, nevertheless, something that is left out. Jesus, I believe, faced a fourth temptation, not only in the wilderness, but throughout his ministry when, dismissing the crowds or leaving his disciples, he went off to be alone. Now, I'll come back to that in a moment, but for the present, I want to talk about being alone. It's good to be alone sometimes, isn't it? To enjoy a little solitude, some peace and quiet. I speak to the parents, for example. Indeed, as one blogger puts it, Jesus makes solitude and silence a priority throughout his ministry. It's how he began his ministry. It's how he made important decisions. It's how he dealt with troubling emotions like grief. It's how he dealt with the constant demands of his ministry and cared for his soul. It's how he taught his disciples. It's how he prepared for important ministry events. And it's how he prepared, finally, for his death on the cross. Maybe it was Jesus's example that inspired the philosopher Alfred North Whitehead to say that religion is what a person does with her solitude. Clearly, there are benefits. Solitude, when one is stressed or feeling overwhelmed, offers focus and perspective. For introverts like me, solitude provides an opportunity to recharge, to care for the soul as Jesus did. I'm told that even on occasion, extroverts need that time as well. During Lent especially, the time to slow down, solitude and silence can provide an amazing opportunity to stop, to return to God, as the prophet Joel said in our first reading for Ash Wednesday, to be still and know, as Psalm 46 writes, that God is God. But solitude, as some of you know, has another side. Like fruit, it can spoil. Too much of it is a bad thing. And the silence it brings, at first divine, can become deafening. Sure, solitude sounds alluring, attractive, a luxury, a getaway from all the noise, what Kierkegaard called the hubbub and the racket. But solitude is also something we instinctively tend to avoid. This explains why we become so good at distracting ourselves with television and other technologies, especially our phones. Indeed, as the theologian Paul Tillich observes, solitude is not easy. Who can bear it? It was not easy even for Jesus. We read, he went up into the hills to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. When evening comes, loneliness becomes more lonely. And think again about Jesus' time in the wilderness, alone, facing the whole earth and sky, the wild beasts around him and within him, he himself as we are, the battlefield for the forces of creation and destruction. We know the truth of Tillich's words. Solitude is not easy. Sit at home tonight without your television on or without watching videos on your phone, and you will know exactly what I mean. And yet here is the strangest thing. Sometimes when I find myself in isolation, in the wilderness as Jesus was, alone, I do the exact opposite of what I need. I stay in the wilderness. And it's this, I think, that was the fourth temptation of Jesus Christ in our story today. Why go back? He must have wondered. Why not just go my own way? Why not just remain where I am? Now, hear me out. Isn't it easier once you're in isolation to stay where you are? I'm not talking about people who bear isolation involuntarily, the sick or the homebound. I'm talking about people who voluntarily detach, people who remove themselves from social groups and meaningful communal activities. Consider, for example, what's happening to the church. According to Bishop Eaton, the ELCA membership decreases by 70,000 people a year, roughly the loss of a synod every single year. What happens to all those people? Not just in the ELCA, but across Christian denominations who say, for example, well, the church doesn't really do it for me, or I don't get anything out of attending church. People who now, in isolation, perhaps, watch television instead, or seek community in places like Facebook and other forms of social media. Is it a mere coincidence that as Americans leave not only their religious communities in droves, but also the vast array of civic and communal groups, preferring, as the sociologist Robert Putman famously says, to bowl alone, that loneliness is on the rise, now affecting 40% of the U.S. population, up 50% since the 1980s. And that this loneliness, this isolation, is causing us to do terrible things to ourselves and to others. Obviously, and I want you to hear me closely on this, sometimes there are good reasons to leave, say, the church, or to take a break. But staying in the wilderness can make us vulnerable, and not in a good way. It's no surprise that the devil appears in the wilderness, representing perhaps the voice of self-criticism or hostility that grows in isolation toward others, voices that fester in such a state. It's probably no surprise that too much time in the wilderness, along with loneliness and isolation that this time brings, can also affect our physical health, making us more likely to die prematurely than obesity or smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Clearly, if God's will is abundant life, as Jesus says in John 10:10, then the isolation, the loneliness that comes with remaining in our respective wildernesses is not the life for us that God intended. It is not what God wants. Yet, like so many behavioral patterns, there are habits. And the more we do these, the harder it becomes to break them. And it's easier anyway. I suspect Jesus encountered this as the fourth and final temptation in the wilderness. It would be easier not to go back. Returning to Galilee and ultimately Jerusalem would be dangerous, difficult, even deadly. So why bother? Why not run the other way? You can imagine how much that would have pleased the devil in our story, right? But the gospel this morning, the good news, is that Jesus didn't remain in isolation or run the other way. Jesus felt the call to life, to fellowship, to community in spite of its difficulties and sometimes significant challenges. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that Jesus, led by the Spirit, went into the wilderness. But Luke adds in the verse just after the end of our gospel reading for today that this same Spirit led Jesus out of the wilderness as well, out of isolation and back into community, fellowship, filled, says Luke, with the power of the Spirit, the will to a full life. Dear friends in Christ, people all around us, including our friends and family members, are giving into the ease of isolation and being driven out into the wilderness where, in spite of the loneliness they may feel, they remain. Sometimes we are tempted to do the same. When we hear ourselves coming up with excuses for not being part of our faith community because, yes, it can be difficult. When we think of leaving because of one thing, say, another parishioner or a pastor said, without talking to that person. When we think we need to leave the church because we're feeling overwhelmed, forgetting that the church is exactly where we should be when we're overwhelmed, especially in the season of Lent, when virtually all of our programming focuses on slowing down. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life calls each of us, just as it did Jesus, out of isolation or potential isolation, out of the wilderness and back into fellowship with others. Saint Irenaeus once said that the glory of God is the human being fully alive. Are we not most fully alive when we are in fellowship with others? The wilderness, it's true, may offer perspective, and solitude can often be helpful, as Jesus himself recognized, which may be why the Spirit led him out. But if we stay there, the glory and ease of being alone can soon become the agony and pain of being alone, of profound self-enclosure, none of which is God's will, none of which contributes to the human being, to you and me, being fully alive. We all know the story. Jesus faces three temptations in the wilderness. Yet had Jesus succumbed to the fourth, to the temptation of remaining where he was instead of rejoining others, had he decided not to go back, there would be no story at all. But thanks be to God, he did otherwise. May the Spirit that led Jesus out of his wilderness lead us, lead each of you out of yours. And may the same Spirit lead those who suffer from self-imposed exile back into genuine, meaningful fellowship, whether with us or with others. And all God's people said, Amen.